There is a moment after trauma that nobody prepares you for. And oftentimes enough, it doesn't really get talked about. If you're a fan of the show, you know we talk a great deal about mental health, along with a few more important things. But I try to center it around mental health as possible. But there is a moment after trauma that no one prepares you for. Not the crisis, not the chaos, not the breaking point, but it's what I like to call the quiet place. The strange quiet place that comes after everything stops. After the phone calls slow down, and after the instability shifts. After the emergency passes away and you think to yourself, I should feel better than this, but you don't. You're safe, technically. You're stable on paper and you're functioning outwardly, but internally, you still feel on edge. And that is what we're going to be talking about in this episode. So stay tuned. Now, first and foremost, welcome back. I know it's been a while, it's been a week, but I promise I had some very interesting things that kept me busy. It is quite a busy time, and a lot of opportunities are coming along the way. But I'm happy to hear from you. And if this is your first time listening to an episode of Outreach with Reggie, welcome. And if you're returning, I'm happy you came back to OWR, and I'm happy that you found a home within the podcast, and I'm happier that you chose this podcast to be the podcast that you listen to share, and to create conversations around topics that oftentimes enough do not get spoken of. So with that being said, within this episode, I promise and I can assure you that it will not be dramatic. It is not meant to be explosive. It is not so much of a motivational push, but more so it is meant to be reflective, because a lot of us know how to survive, but very few of us were ever taught how to live after the survival. And that gap between the two, and that space between surviving and living, that is where people quietly struggle. And oftentimes enough, we treat it like it's the same thing. So with that being said, I will break down what it means separately, along with the fact of seeing how you can navigate it. So in this first segment, we're going to talk about what survival does to you. Like always, we're going to speak honestly. When you're in survival mode, your body adapts. Like a chameleon, it tends to adapt to the environment and to the circumstance and to the situation that it's faced against. Your brain shifts into protection. Research shows that during the prolonged stress, the part of the brain that is responsible for threat detection, that part becomes more active. At the same time, the prefrontal cortex that is responsible for reasoning and emotional regulation can become less dominant under stress. Or in simpler terms, your brain gets really good at spotting danger. It gets less focused on calm moments, how to find peace, where to find peace, how to regulate at that time. And I can assure you, as I've always said, that is not a weakness. That it in itself is adaptation. If you grew up navigating instability, if you had to always be the strong one early on, the protector, the provider, the assister, if you, as they say, grew up very earlier, then if you grew up earlier than most, or if you were constantly anticipating the next disruption, your nervous system, as time progressed, learned to stay ready, and that saved you for some time. But what no one tells you is this. When danger ends, the nervous system doesn't instantly reset. There's not a cool down period that happens like a flash. And I can speak to that. I remember sitting in a season where nothing was technically wrong at all. This was after college. For a time being, bills were handled. There was no real immediate crisis anymore. I was learning that I don't have to run. I was so used to, at a time, looking for my independent living specialist from DFACS to help me pay for school, or I was trying to figure out all the time how I'm going to pay for school, but I didn't have that anymore because I graduated. I didn't have to worry about housing during the holidays because I had mentors who provided that for me as I graduated. There was no immediate crisis for me at this time. There was no active emergency. And yet I still felt tight in my chest as I remember the graduation song and the dance and the walking across the stage and feeling like I finally earned this degree after 6 years. You know, I felt like the world would become easier. Even having the same memory when I reconnected with my family this past December. But no, I still felt tightness in my chest, still scanning, still bracing, still realizing that I had traumatic responses to certain things in my life present. Still scanning, still bracing. I would wake up already tired. Sometimes I would wake up in a state of shock. Like I have been running in my sleep, running from something. And I kept asking myself, what is wrong with me? Everything I have right now, I'm blessed to have. And what was the real issue? But the reality was, nothing's wrong. But it's after all of the things that I endured, my body just hadn't caught up yet to the reality that I live in today. So now we're going to talk about when peace feels unfamiliar. Because that's the part people don't talk about, truly. How does peace become unfamiliar to someone? To anyone who's went through a traumatic experience, a moment in time where it has taken a big portion of their life, peace can feel uncommon. Stillness, to stay still, to enjoy the moment right there, to not think about the future or think about where you're going to be, but to be in still, it can feel suspicious. The silence, the pure silence, can feel very heavy. There is research around hypervigilance that shows when someone has experienced chronic stress or trauma, the body remains in a heightened alert state, even when there's no threat. You can be very much safe in a, you could be very much in a safe room or in a safe space or somewhere in the capacity where you are safe, and your body still scans for exits. Casing the room, as they say. You could be in a very healthy relationship and still expect abandonment. A lot of the time, you find it in people who would rather self-sabotage themselves or the things that they're passionate about. Even with the people who we love, hard to trust. Because you're still preparing for collapse. You're still preparing for betrayal. You're still preparing for something that happened long ago to happen right again. That does not mean you're ungrateful. It means your body learned to be on an engine for so long. It learned survival before it learned safety. So what is that truly? Oftentimes enough, when you live in survival long enough, you become wired. It's an engine. It's a system that's in place, that you've put in place unintentionally, but is there. And after a while, you may not notice it, not then and there, but it brings a form of exhaustion. Studies from trauma and stress research show that prolonged exposure to stress can alter cortisol patterns, i.e. your stress hormone. Some people become hyper aroused. Others become very much numb. Numb to the things that they experience, numb to the things that they, you know, have to endure, or what we will require a reasonable response or a much natural response. They either become hyper-emotional or they just turn off the switch. Many fluctuate between both, to the highest degree of a response or just to be nonchalant. That's why you can feel exhausted but unable to rest. You can also feel tired but mentally alert, and drained but unable to slow down. And it's not laziness. That's not even a character flaw. It is a nervous system recalibrating. And recalibrating takes a lot of time. And within that time, survival, it becomes a deeper process. After survival, after you're done surviving and everything is leveled and is at a place of ease, it becomes grief. Not just grief for what happened, but grief for what it cost, time. As I said in the last episode, if you haven't listened to the last episode about being frozen in time, I suggest you listen to it, but the things that when you miss out on time and you realize how much time is gone, you become in a grieving state. Those who were living in 2016, as we were talking about the 2016 to 2026 trend, many years have happened. COVID, right? Many of your precious time, your precious golden years, or however long it's been for any of you, it feels like simply you missed on so much time. Friends, family, events, things that were meant to bring joy passed you by. And it cost. It's the grief for years spent in fight mode. It's the grief for the softness that you didn't get to have. It's the grief for the version that you had to grow up too fast. Psychologists call this ambiguous loss. You're grieving something that doesn't have a funeral, that never got a funeral. Something that wasn't visible, lost time, lost ease. And for many of you, a loss of innocence. And you can be proud of surviving and still wish that you didn't have to, because both are true. Both are true. So, within realizing or leaving, exiting the survival mindset, and now you're in a state of thriving, passion, to feel things again, live in 2026, find something that you can love, people to love, loving yourself, family, friends, or even your significant other. At the time of this recording, or at the time of this release, rather, is Valentine's Day. And we'll talk about that a little later, but right now we're going to go into the identity of trauma. But as you leave the survival mindset, and as you walk into your identity, some may ask, who am I? Who am I? Not what my trauma has said, not for the things I went through, the things I had to go through, the things I had to fight through, but who am I right now? Because here's something no one else prepares you for, as many other things. As you've been fighting one strong fight, you've been the strong one for a long time. People lean on you all the time, but you can't lean on anybody. Who are you without the fight? Truly. You've been the fixer, the responsible one, the steady one. But what happens when you're allowed to be human? What happens when you are now in a space where your emotions matter, your words matter, how you feel matters? Who you get to be today? Who are you without the fight? Who are you without those barriers to where you can walk in love and care? You can smile, you can laugh, you can cry whimsically without a judgment in this world. Sometimes survival becomes part of your identity because you know how to endure. You have the grit. You know how to push yourself far beyond measures. You know how to function under pressure, but you might not know how to relax without guilt. And that transition is not an automatic one, right? You're not a robot. ChatGPT can't help you, insist you in that. And I can tell you right now, relaxing without guilt is not a bad thing. Sometimes there can be guilt in healing. Guilt for not being further ahead because of the things that kept you behind, or at least made you feel like you were behind. The guilt for not being further ahead. Oh, I thought I'd be here. I thought I had a house, a car, money, a wife, a husband, someone who loves me. I thought I had a family, that good paying job, a millionaire, or whatever social media has tried to persuade you to have. Guilty for needing rest, the guilt for moving slowly, all of those things align with the process of healing, right? But research on trauma recovery is clear. The journey in healing is very much non-linear. There are waves. There are setbacks. There are going to be regressions that are actually regressions. There are times where you're going to feel like you took one step back and now you're starting right over in your healing journey. But progress, there's progress in trauma recovery. And the progress in trauma recovery often looks like two steps forward, one step back, and then a pause. Then another step forward. Because productivity is not proof of healing. How much I've done, the accomplishments that I'll get a chance to do, and all of the things, you'll work hard enough at your job, you become the loving parent, the loving partner, the loving sibling that you thought that you would be. And maybe if you do this much amount of things, and maybe if you received accolades or everything that you're searching for, that things may be a lot easier. But that's not proof of healing. That's just a lot of noise work. Speed is not proof of growth. Sometimes the depth of your healing, requires slowness. And I remember this quote, slow motion, but in motion, right? Slow motion, but in motion. It's like, yeah, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I remember I had a great friend and a good friend of mine. And if you're listening, brother, I thank you. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm living again. Think of how freeing that is to say that. I'm living again. Because oftentimes enough, you may have felt like you've wanted to pass away. And as unfortunate that is, and please, I'm not telling you to do anything drastic, but I'm saying, if we're being honest, a lot of us may not have wanted to be or didn't think we could make it this far. And that's okay. But think of how freeing it is to say, I have the opportunity to live again. But what does living again actually look like? Living again after survival, that mindset, that engine, isn't fireworks, right? After a while, engines, if you have a car, tire out. If your survival car, maybe an 03 Hummer or like a 1976 Ford truck, down to this last T, it's not going to work. But it doesn't mean that living again means that you're in a brand new Ferrari. Sometimes it's a Tesla. Sometimes it's a Honda or wherever you're driving. Whatever is beautiful to you, that's durable, that runs just good. It's subtle. Living again after survival, it's subtle. It's sleeping through the night, laughing without tension, laughing without judgment, making plans without scanning for the worst case scenario, saying no to things that you don't feel comfortable with without having to panic. Sitting in silence without bracing. It is your nervous system slowly learning, I don't have to fight today. And that learning happens through repetition, consistency, safety, and timing. One of the most powerful concepts in trauma recovery is neuroplasticity. Because the brain can rewire. That means the same way your body learned hyper alertness, it can learn calmness too. But it does not have to learn it through force. It learns through predictability, boundaries, rest, safe relationships, and small wins. Safety isn't declared, it is experienced over and over and over again. So, as we are at the closing portion of the show, I want to let you know that you're not behind. I have to name this clearly. If you feel like you're behind in life, ask yourself, were you living freely or were you surviving? Because a lot of people compare timelines without comparing circumstances, right? If you spent years just trying to stay afloat, just trying to keep your head above water, of course your pace looks different. And you're not late because of it. You were surviving. But now you get a chance to live. You get a chance to live. And I want you to say this every time to help you in your new journey. I get to live again. I get to live again, and I deserve to live again. And just realize the beauty in that. And if your body shakes when you say that, or if you feel uneased, it's okay. But as we close this episode, if the emergency has ended, if the emergency has ended in your life, but your body hasn't relaxed yet, be patient with yourself. Be very patient with yourself. Your nervous system carried you through some heavy stuff. And I applaud you. I commend you for your grit. And I champion you as strong as you are. I clap for you and I'm rooting for you. But I'm going to remind you to be patient with yourself. Your nervous system carried you through some heavy stuff and it deserves gentleness now. You survived. That's not small, not by a mile. And now you're allowed to learn how to live again. Not urgently, not to prove anything or to anyone, not to catch up, keep up with your counterparts, but because simply you deserve a life that isn't built on bracing, looking for the danger. And lastly, to close this out, if last episode was a part one on being frozen in time, allow this time, allow this episode to be the thawing out from trauma and how to navigate the new life you're walking into now. So share this with a loved one, like, comment, rate this episode, rate the show, and I look forward to hearing how you feel, and I look forward to hearing how you're going to walk into your new life. So thank you for sitting in this conversation. My name is Reggie Holloway. This is Outreach with Reggie. And I'll talk to you next time. Take care and peace.